Praise God, praise God. I'm Pastor Mark Cho. This is my podcast revival today. I pray that you are blessed by the message this morning.
The message that I have today is what a friend we have in Jesus. Someone say with me, what a friend we have in Jesus. That's the message. What a friend we have in Jesus. We need to be careful about just being chummy. And I'm going to break this down. We need to be careful about being chummy, being friends, and just calling Jesus our friend. I set y'all up. I want to talk about friendship and the friendship that we need to have in the Lord. I know that these days, everyone knows what it is to have a friend. A long time ago, I was told two things. It was this. It says, two things will most influence where you'll be in 10 years. The books you read and the friends you make. You see, the books you read and the friends you make. We need to choose them both very carefully. I'm going to talk about that. We need to choose them both very carefully. I want to talk about how, see, the when you have friendships, we know how it goes in today's society. A friend is somebody you can count on. Is that right? Somebody, when you need them, they seem to always be there. I want to talk about understanding that Jesus is more than a friend. And sometimes it's easy for us to think about friendship as those we can just go and grab. Like we have Facebook today, and now we have new ways of making friends. You can go online and get a friend tomorrow. And all of a sudden, you chatting with them. You see the young people start to text and send chat snaps and all this stuff to friends. Is that right? So-called friends. But I want to talk about how we have to understand that Jesus is more than a friend. He's a partner for life. The Bible says in Psalms 34:8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusts in him. Somebody say, blessed is a man that trusts in who? When the scripture says, oh, taste and see that God is good, it seems like those that have tasted him aren't finding the goodness. Because of that, people are not being drawn to Christ. And one of the reasons is because we're getting too chummy. We're becoming friends with Jesus in a way where we're not reverencing him. And I want to break that down today. Friends that you have in the world will be with you up to a certain point. They'll be with you as long as the deal is working out for them. As long as you keep calling them, they'll be your friend. You ever hear a friend say, well, you don't call me no more? But I need the church to realize that when it says in the scripture, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusts in him. So there's a relationship that we have to have a friend like Jesus. Of course, a long time ago, I want to just break this down right here. In the Bible, God and the Lord Jesus were called friends. So in the Bible, there was a few points where you heard Jesus call someone friend. And I want to go into this today. It says the Bible refers to both Abraham and Moses as friends of God. In the book of Isaiah 41:8, if you turn with me to Isaiah 41:8, and it says here in the 41st chapter, in the 8th verse, it says, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen. It says, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham is my friend. So Israel was the servant, but who was friend? Abraham was friend. Now, what it says after that verse, it says, Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief man, therefore, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. But it says here in the next verse, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. So the word is saying that the friendship that you have in the Lord, he has chosen us and not cast us away. Abraham was a friend of the Lord. And one of the things with the friend that we have in Jesus is understanding that he is always there for us. The next part of that scripture says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. See, some of us don't understand that. He is saying, don't fear what you're going through right now. Jesus being your friend is always there. When you think about normal friendships in society today, friendship is determined today is by how much you talk to them, or if you call them, or if you write them. But I want to let you know we need to be careful. I want to let you know that we need to be careful because we need to be in a relationship with God where we reverence him first. And by reverencing him, we're going to find that our relationship is going to become solid. Faithfulness is only determined as you are tried. So a friend that tells you that they're your friend, they're not really proven to be your friend until you've gone through something. So when you and I are in church praising God saying, oh, I'm excited because I love the Lord Jesus. Oh, I'm excited because he's my friend and I'm his. You see, it's easy to do that. But what happens when you're being tried? What happens with your relationship and your marriages when you're being tried? It's easy to court, but it's hard to stay in a lifelong relationship. The relationship that we have in Christ is supposed to be beyond all circumstances. So, church, this is why the faith is withering away and dying, because people are saying they're friends of Jesus, but they have not been tried. So God wants to try you to make you. Yes, it's good to have friends on Facebook. It's good to write people and say, oh, yeah, now I got a friend. But once the circumstance changes, once you don't pick them up for work anymore, they're no longer your friends because they were using you for a ride. But I want to let you know that Jesus is with you to the very end. That's why the scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. There are benefits that come with the Lord. And this is why we can't just be mutual friends. We need to know that we have to be friends that know how to stand with one another. Church, it's time to hold one another spiritually accountable. And stop just using the word friend as friend. Says here that Jesus called his disciples friends, but he still was their Lord and teacher. Someone said Lord and teacher. Although at the Last Supper, the apostle John laid his head on Jesus' breast, years later, John saw Jesus in his glory. He fell at his feet as a dead man. That's in Revelation 1:17. But then it says, so as we consider whether or not we are friends of Jesus, we need to maintain John's reverence. Someone says John reverence. When you don't reverence something, you don't respect it. You do whatever you feel like doing. You come whenever you feel like coming. You show up whenever you feel like showing up. God wants the people of God to know how to reverence him. If you really want to see yourself become established, there's four characteristics that I want to talk about. These four characteristics, I want to let you know, is that it's about understanding the characteristics of those who are called friends of Jesus. How many of us want to be a friend of Jesus? Amen. Now, to be a friend of Jesus, there's certain characteristics you have to have. You can't just dial them up on Facebook. You just can't say, oh, Jesus, I'm with you today. There's certain characteristics that you and I need to have so that we're a friend with Christ. Friends of Jesus love one another. Take that down. Love one another. Obey his commandments and understand his truths. And are chosen to bear fruit that remains. Someone said that remain. Someone said bear fruit that remain. That's hard to do. Characteristics of Christ. First is, the first part is friends of Jesus love one another just as he loved us. In John 15, 12 and 13 says that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this that has laid down his life for his friend. Someone said lay down his life for his friend. It said, this is the commandment, you. It said, this I command you, that you love one another. So there's no greater friend than somebody that laid down their life. You call your friend right now and ask them, are they ready to take a bullet? They'd be like, listen, you need to just stay out of trouble. I'm not going with you. You ever see in the movies that friends together and they're like, listen, man, we're going to roll up. He's like, oh, I'm not going. What if I told you that Jesus said one of the characteristics that he wants us to have is to love one another? When I mentioned that part where I said that friendship, where I said faithfulness is only determined as you are tried, faithfulness means this. If you're my friend, you are faithful. If you're saying, I'm a friend of the Lord, I'm a friend of God, I'm a friend of God, because he calls me friend, that's easy to do. But what happens when the friend of God has to be faithful? So one of the characteristics of saying love one another, it's hard to love when you're always putting boundaries and certain things in the way. Love is an unconditional thing. That means when you have that child, you love that child from when it was born to death do you part. But we don't get that. So the characteristics that Christ wants us to have, he says to love one another. Someone say that with me, love one another. It says, friends of Jesus obey his commandments. So say, obey his commandments. Says, you are my friend if you do what I command you. This, repeat, it says right here, it says, if you keep my commandment, you will abide in my love just as I kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. That's in John 15:10. So it says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Someone say, abide in my love. See, so Jesus didn't say, just do it. He said, I did it too. This is what God is saying. He didn't say, just abide in his love. He said, guess what? I did it too. That was the will of my Father, to keep the commandments, to do unto others as I would want them to do unto me. But we don't do that. We don't do that. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. The next one. So that was number two. So you have that down? To be a friend, we need to obey his commandments. Say that again. The next part is number three. Friends of Jesus understand the truth that he made known to us from the Father. In John 15:50, it says, no longer do I call you slaves. You hear that? No longer do we call you slaves, for the slaves do not know what his master is doing. And it says in the next verse, he says, but I have called you friend, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Somebody say, all things that I heard from my Father, I made known to you. See, so now you have benefits. We don't need to run around scared and worried. If you're truly a friend of God, guess what? He's going to let you know what's going down. See, this is the kind of friend that I'm talking about, is understanding the friend that Jesus is going to be with you. The Bible says he was going away to be with his Father, but he said, I'm going away, but I'm also going to leave with you a comforter. So I know you're going through some things right now, but Jesus was so much of a friend that he said, I'm going to leave the Spirit with you to guide you through all truth. This is a friend that we have in Jesus. So when I come in this morning and praise God and I'm excited, sometimes I come in broken. Sometimes I come in hurt. Sometimes I come in with a misunderstanding. But because he is your friend, guess what? He is there to meet your need. He's not leaving you without hope. Now, it's hard to understand true friendship if you don't understand what he requires of you. If you're in a friendship or a relationship is not really proven. I don't care how much you love somebody. I don't care how long you've been together. If everything's great, they always love you. But what if when you tried? Just like Lot with his wife, she began to challenge him and said, this God that you serve, How is it that this God that you serve is allowing all this stuff to happen to you? She said, it's better that you curse God and die. But because of Lot's relationship with his God, he made known that I'm not going to move. I'm going to keep on trusting in the Lord with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways, acknowledge him. And then he shall what? Direct your path. See, so when you acknowledge Christ and you reverence him, regardless of what you're going through, your spirit, your heart is sold out to him. And when your heart is sold out to God, what's going to happen when you come into the house of God? You're going to know how to reverence him because you're going to say, he is my friend regardless of what I'm going through this day. Because my mind is made up that I've been tried. And some of us do this. Lord, I want to be your friend. Lord, use me. How many of us say, Lord, use me? So if you say, Lord, use me, know what that means? Lord, try me. Uh-oh. You think that you just get a calling, you just run on with that calling, and there's not going to be proven? You're not going to have to stand to be proven? John the Baptist was beheaded, but yet still he was saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. When Jesus was out doing the work, he was sitting in jail. He did not sit in jail and say, oh, he let me hang in. He knew that. He said, oh, I still have a friend in Jesus. God is not leaving you hanging. He is proving you. He is testing you. He is shaking up the ground around you so that he can see if you will stand. That's why I'm not in the church this morning worried about the numbers. I'm worried about your faithfulness. Because God already said what he was going to do, just like how he told Abraham. He even told Noah. He said, go and build that ark, and I'm going to make sure that it rains because judgment is coming. When God is going to speak to you, he's not speaking to you as a slave. He's speaking to you as a son. So now he's going to tell his son. How many of you that are good parents would leave your child behind when disasters come in? No, you're going to do like they do in the movies. But you see how they do all that they can do? They write the story. They make it clear that he's going to risk it all. Are you ready to risk it all for his name's sake? Does Jesus truly have a friend in you? Are you really a friend of his? He said, I've already got your back. I already started writing your name in the book of life. But we've turned ourselves away from him because of things we're going through. And then we're saying, we dare say that we're a friend of God. He said, I know you not. For your works are iniquity. A lot of times we have circumstances that we're going through And we put that on Jesus and on God when he said, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. So number three, friends of Jesus understand the truth that he has made known to us from his Father. So in John 15:5, it was talking about, no longer do I call you slaves, for the slaves do not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friend. For all things that I hear from my Father, I have made known to you. And that's a benefit. So everything that's coming down, everything that the Father desires you to know, he's going to deliver straight to you. Amen. Give God some praise in here. Next one, number four, friends of Jesus. And I hope you're noting this. Friends of Jesus are chosen by him to bear fruit that remains. Someone say, bear fruit that remains. Says, as they depend upon him through prayer. So in John 15:16, you can go in your notes later and really go in, it's just broken down. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and anointed you that you would go and bear fruit. Now you hear that? He anointed you that you would go and bear fruit. How many fruit have you bear this week, this year? How many seeds have you planted? How many? You know, it's good to come in a church and the house of God and preach and share, but listen, we have a work to do. You're supposed to be drawing people closer to Christ, bringing souls into the house of God. It's not pastor's job to go do everything. It's our job to step up and start doing something. If you want to see the house of God filled, we have to bear fruit of its own kind. Disciple somebody. Take somebody in your home and start to teach them the word and encourage them. Bring them into the house of God. So he's saying here that friends of Jesus are chosen by him. You are chosen. That means he picked you out of the lineup. And, you know, I know you feel broken. You feel like I'm going through a lot right now. But I want you to know Jesus chose you. He chose you, and he's giving you special privileges. This is what's going to give you strength in the middle of a storm. When you're going through, you know that you're chosen. You know that you're his. But what we don't understand is that we have to stand in the storm. Don't keep on saying, Pastor, I'm not coming because this happened to me this week. I can't do it because this one walked away from me. I want you to see yourself as Jesus's friend too. And pay the respect back to him where you said, for God I live, for God I die. I know my circumstances are tough right now. I know that I'm being tried on every hand, but Lord, I trust in your word because you're my friend. Lord, I'm going to stand the test that is placed before me because you're my friend. Not that he's my friend, but you said, you're my friend. I'm in your party. I'm part of your crew because you're my friend. I want to teach us, church, how to live and not die. How to live and how to find praise even when you're in the storm. Remember, even the disciples had Jesus in the boat with them, and when the storm came, they became weary. And he said, he woke up and said, oh, ye of little faith, how dare you have no faith? I'm sitting right here with you. I'm in the ship with you. And you all crying, saying, we're going to die. Jesus is with you, church. He is with you. He's your friend. He's in the boat. He's in the storm. He's in the divorce. He's in all of it. He's in it. He's with you. What is your situation right now? If you look up, when it says look up and live by faith, it doesn't say look up and live by emotions. It don't say that. He says live by faith. So that means the boat is shaking around you and you don't know how to make it. You don't, but you said, I'm determined to be proven. I'm determined to make it. And even if I got to go down with him, I'm going down with saying Jesus. What a friend we have and Jesus.
God, this is Pastor Mark Schultz again. I just want to say to you, I pray that you enjoyed this message. Was a word from God for today's generation church. I pray that you are moved by this message. We are located at 1850 Elm Street, Manchester, New Hampshire. Sunday morning services start at 10 a.m. Please share with others. Come visit us. Again, we hope to see you. God bless. Church.